Thank you. This morning, I just want to continue talking about Philippians. We're close to ending. I think we will end today. We might just do a little bit of a summary next week to kind of completely finish it off. But last week we talked about tithing. And again, Paul is ending off the book of Philippians saying thank you for the generous gift the Philippians had sent him. Epaphroditus had traveled 800 miles to bring a gift. All right? And he says, I have more than I need now because of your generous offering, your generous giving to him. And so Paul is giving thanks. And, you know, I want to say this morning that generosity goes beyond just finances, but Paul is specifically addressing that. And I think it's important that there's, like I mentioned last week, there's so many scriptures about our money because money tends to have a grip on us. And so one of the areas that the Bible tells us to be generous in is our finances. Amen? And also, tithing is so critically important because it's giving back what's already God's. It's giving back what's His. And so we start with tithing, we step into generosity when we go beyond tithe. Amen? I think it's important to understand. Let's read this chunk of Philippians 4 together. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news. And then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help once, or more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are sweet-smelling sacrifices, acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is thanking them, and I mean, that's part of the overlying theme. This whole book is, here's a guy in jail saying, we need to rejoice, we need to be thankful, and we need to be generous. And again, there should be joy in our lives if we're a Christian. One other sign that should follow people who are Christians is that they're generous people. I really believe that it is something that we're called to do if we're followers of Christ. Why? Because God has been so generous to us. And that's something that should mark us as different than the rest of the world, is that we carry a generous spirit, that we are givers. And not just finances, in our time or energy or gifting, all the things, the way that we serve other people, it should mark us because God has been so generous to us. And so I know in some ways it's weird to talk about finances because people are like, well, I'll be honest, like as a pastor, I say this every time, it is weird to talk about finances, yet it's in the Bible and we don't want to avoid it. And so last week, you know, we talked about the importance of the tithe, where it comes from. I do believe that we're called to give that 10%. Again, it's just giving back to the Lord what's His. And we're honoring Him with that. And there's a lot of promises in Scripture that show us what happens when we live as generous people, when we commit to partnering with the Lord. And that's what we're doing. We're literally saying, God, I want to give back, because everything I have, the air I breathe, my ability to make resources, to make, even have a job, it's all from you anyway. And so we're giving back to Him, we're partnering with Him, and in that, we walk under a lot of incredible blessing because we're partnering with the Lord. He's a good business partner to have with you. Amen? And so, I read this, generosity isn't just a good idea, it's a pathway to a richer life. Tithing starts the journey, and generosity takes it further. And so, I just want to talk about generosity today, and I'm just, again, my prayer is that we would understand that our whole life, we're called to give. We're called to pour ourselves out. Our culture says, get what you can, build your own fortress, build your own kingdom, get what you can, because he who dies with the most wins. It's kind of the idea we see in our culture, right? You got to save, because one day, hopefully, you'll get to sit there with all and more than enough, put your feet up, and the goal is to get to do nothing, or whatever you want, right? To just sit back. And I've often thought about that, when I look at Scripture, that's actually not the goal for us, is it? And if you talk to people that are retired, they actually don't want to just put their feet up and sit there and do nothing, right? We want to have purpose right till the very end. And so what we actually see in the Bible is that when we accomplish more, when we're fruitful, God gives us more responsibility. And the idea is that we continue to be fruitful and follow Him and be effective with our life right to the very end. Amen? And we do that by giving. By giving our time, by giving our gifts, by giving financially, everything that we do. And we're called to bless other people. And so, you know, we never actually graduate from growing in generosity. We don't ever actually arrive, be like, oh yeah, I gave once, I'm good. That's not how it works. But we learn, it's this constant. That's why I do believe that every single paycheck is a check to see how your heart's doing. Will I master the area of finances in my life, or will it master me? The Bible says in Matthew 6:24 that you can't serve two masters, you can't serve God and money. All right, and the reason that I think the Bible many times addresses money is because that's one of the biggest areas we struggle with. We think that money is our source. We think that being able to have a bigger bank account will protect us, will provide for us. And yet, it's not to take the place of God. Right? And money will say things to us like, let me open doors for you, or I'll make a way for you. And those are things that only God is to do in our life. And so yet we trust the money sometimes way more than we trust God. And so that's why I do believe that even God created that as a form of, we give back to Him, we continuously live this lifestyle because He doesn't want money to have a hook in our lives and in our hearts. All right? Psychologists say that when you make more money, you start to actually believe that you're better than other people. And so if money has you, it's a problem. And of course, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's actually okay to have money as long as the money doesn't have you. Right? And that's the danger. Sometimes we do think that we might be better than someone else. And I got news for you. I think it's Genesis 2:7. In fact, just look around. Just look to the person to your right, your left, in front of you, behind you, okay? You know, in Genesis 2, it says that God formed Adam out of the dirt. And the people on your left and on your right, in front, behind, they're not dirt bags, but they come from dirt. All right, we all are on the same playing field here. We all come from the Lord. And no one is better than anyone else. It doesn't matter your background or country or ethnicity, none of them. Okay? We're all people that matter to God. And everyone else should matter to us. And you know, we can talk ourselves out of things like giving, being generous, tithing. But listen, we can't outgive God. And that's what He created us for. So if you're trying to find an excuse to give less or to get out of being generous, it's probably not God's heart. Okay? If you're having that conversation in your mind with yourself, I would just propose to you, probably that's not the Lord. So Paul talks about, in the book of Corinthians, he's talking about church, they're taking up an offering, and he's talking about giving, and I'm not going to go into it a bunch this morning. I encourage you to just read through the book of 2 Corinthians. You can read even what he's talking about with them. But in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he says, give according to what you have. And he's encouraging them to practice giving, and he's saying thank you for being generous people. And he's, again, just addressing what they're doing. And he says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, he says, you know, you excel in many ways, in your faith, in your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your gifted speakers, your love, but I also want you to excel in the gracious act of giving. Okay, this is something that he encourages in 2 Corinthians 9. He's still talking about this. He says, verse 6, he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. I better read the same version you got. A farmer who only plants a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Okay? Notice that, because sometimes people will try and pressure you or manipulate, and please hear me, that is not at all what I'm trying to do today. But what God wants is a joyful giver, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Okay? You should highlight that, underline it in your Bible. That's a great promise. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And it's in the context of giving. Okay? Remember in Philippians 4, we just read earlier, my God shall supply all your needs. That's in the context of because you just gave. Okay? So, and I want you to remember this, it starts by giving. Sometimes you wake and say, well, God, give me everything I need and then I'll give. No, actually it's reversed. We give, and we see Him respond, okay? Why? Because it's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience to actually be a giver. And it feels backwards in our head sometimes because we're like, well, I'm waiting for the first. It's like, no, we start, right? And so you initiate. Proverbs 11:24 says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. So the Bible says it. Can I just say, I love when science also is shown to back up what Scripture says. And you can study with psychologists. There's a lot of studies on this. But you know that they say giving will lower your blood pressure and protect the heart, similar to the effects of a healthy diet and exercise. So if you don't like just eating vegetables and running on the treadmill, just give more. All right? They say that giving can reduce cortisol levels, the stress hormone, reducing anxiety in your life. It increases your mental health. Giving fosters a sense of community. Regular giving can improve immune function, and studies show even extend your lifespan. Okay? That's studies they've done. That's not me. You can look it up. Giving activates the brain's reward system, triggering the release of the feel-good chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. Psychologists say that humans are wired to give and to be generous. You know why? Because God made us that way. Because we're to reflect who He is. We're made in His image, and He's a giver. And we should also be givers. And so science just backs it up, what the Bible already tells us. All right? Arthur Burke, he is a Christian researcher, but he says this, the more you give to charity, the richer you get. He says, 25 years of research, when you give a dollar to charity, there's about $1.60 that comes back to you in subsequent years. People who give more money away get richer. Multiple psychologists have found this. And so when you give, you become a problem solver, and you end up earning more. It's interesting. And so there's even the science behind it that backs up. Like, we actually are called and invited into a lifestyle of generosity. Okay? It's not a manipulation thing. It's not a you must do this. It's not a you earn something, or you're buying your way to heaven, or better standing with God, or anything like that. That's not at all the point. The point is, do I trust God, that He's my source? Do I trust that He'll look after me? Do I trust He's with me? And out of that, will I give? When people, even in 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul talks about regularly set aside a part of your income as a practice to regularly, methodically give. And I think we should do that. When people argue about tithing, it's usually not to give. It's usually, I want to hold on. And it doesn't matter if it's 10, 20, 30, 90%. It's between you and God. And He's the one that sees your heart. He's the one that sees what's going on. It's not between you and anyone else. But again, God modeled generosity. Jesus modeled generosity for us in how we live. And so, I think I mentioned this last week, but every scholar I've actually read on the topic has basically said that if you look at just New Testament, the baseline should be about 10% for people. Why? Because one guy, Dr. Gabriel, says it's unthinkable from the standpoint of the cross that anyone would give less under grace than the Jews gave under the law. Again, and it's a check of our heart. Do I trust God? Do I believe that God is with me, and that more can happen if I give Him 10% than if I hold on to the 100%? If you look in Philippians 4, what we read earlier, verse 19, where Paul says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. You know that word supply means to drench or to steep, just like you would the tea bag? Okay, you stick the tea in the tea bag in the boiling water, and you let it all soak out, right? And he's saying God's supply in your life is something that should be completely permeated throughout every area of your life. And you can trust God to supply your needs. Amen? And then it says the word supply actually means that everything that Christ owns is the believer's. Think about that. Everything that He owns is yours. Who's the guy that owns a cattle on a thousand hills? Who's the guy that can provide for everything that you need at any time? It's Him. And so we need to be able to trust Him. And that's why I think we should teach our kids and our grandkids to be givers. That's why I think we need to practice this in our life as a Christian. It's to be generous, to be kind, to let the overflow of the good news and the hope that we have found in Jesus come out of our life. That's why in James 1 it says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, right? We actually have to put this stuff into practice. Your life should look different when you know Jesus. And at its core, generosity is the willingness to give without being coerced, without being manipulated. But it's rooted in gratitude in God. And I do believe an act of faith saying, I trust you, God. I trust you enough to want to partner with you with everything I have in my life because I believe you're walking with me. Amen. Alright, I'm going to speed up here. Last week I mentioned, just briefly, out of Matthew 12, Jesus took His followers and they were watching people give in the temple. And the widow walked up with 2 pennies and dropped 2 pennies in, and He said, she gave more than all the other people. And the Bible says that many rich people came and gave generous amounts. I was actually reading about this, and they say many times people would come and they would have, they didn't have 50s and 100s, they didn't have cash, they had coins, right? And they would come And they would love to slam the money in to actually make a loud sound, show, look, listen to the weight, listen to the bang, listen to how much I gave, right? It was like, I want some attention. I want everybody to see how much I gave. So they walk up and throw it in there. And then here this lady comes up with 2 pennies and gives 2. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody else. And why was that? The word actually there is the word bios, which actually means she gave her livelihood. She gave what she needed to survive that day. Many of us, and Jesus said, others give out of the overflow or the abundance that they have. She gave all that she had. And Jesus recognized it. And I just a couple quick things. I think when we see stories like that, I think God watches how we give. Jesus was sitting there watching people give. And he watches our heart. He watches our attitude. He watches and sees what we do. I've never zeroed my bank account giving something. And yet she did, and God recognized her for it. And he honored her for that. We have to be careful that we're not giving, trying to say, hey, everybody, look at me. Look how much I give. You know, and I have nothing against people that give to whatever kind of good cause, a hospital or whatever, and they want their name on a plaque, cool, whatever. But that's not the point of why we give. Do you think that God wants you to live in fear or feeling of lack or worry? Do you think he wants you to be enslaved to finances or this fear of never having enough? No. And so we need to learn to trust. And that's why I really believe that when we talked about the first fruits in tithing, he wants you to give to him first and trust him with the rest. And then we partner in how we do that. And it's supposed to be a journey. And so this story is powerful because her radical act of giving from her poverty confronts our tendency to give out of what's left over at the end, rather than saying, God, I trust you, and this is what true sacrifice looks like, because I trust that you'll look after all my needs. And so you might be thinking, oh man, I've got 50 bucks in my pocket, or you might be thinking, I've got $1 million in my bank account. You know that the amount you have or that you give is not the measuring stick. That's the beauty. It's the heart. And it's following him. And so if that lady can be recognized for giving 2 pennies, it's interesting because she had 2, she could have given 1. She gave both. And yet Jesus says, that's more than everybody else here that was throwing in thousands of dollars. Why? Because he wants us to be a joyful giver. He wants us to learn to partner with him. And he wants us to grow. You can, Jesus, the beauty of this is Jesus came and gave everything, didn't he? I think Jesus modeled generosity in many ways. He would stop for people and give them his time. He gave out of his life and ultimately gave everything for us as an act of generosity. When people had a need, he listened to them. He had compassion for them. How many people, especially this time of year, but when you're feeling busy, you're like, I could care less. Who's phoning me and needing help right now? I'm busy. I got things to do. Don't bother me. Go to voicemail, whatever. Like, you know, and yet Jesus, we see him practice stopping for the one in need, stopping for those who are crying out and helping. And we have to be careful to guard our heart against just getting hardened against everything else going on in the world, because there's lots of chaos. There's lots of mess up there. But what do you have that you're able to help others with? How are you able to be generous in this season to help people around you? Not just with finances, but with your time, with your gifting. How can you help? I do want to say, sadly, many people have been manipulated, even in Christian circles. There's been people that do not have good intentions that have gone out and said, you need to give so that you'll get. You need to do this so that this will happen to you. And you invest in this ministry and this is going to happen for you. And there's this weird stuff that's been taught at times that takes away, what it does is it shuts people down and brings fear from actually practicing the lifestyle of generosity that we're called to. And we miss out on the blessing that God wants us to walk in. This is something that we're called to practice. The Bible says when we give, it's a sweet smelling aroma. It's, again, it's an offering to the Lord. It's an act of worship. And in Philippians 4:17, Paul said, it's not the gift that I'm after. I'm not saying I need more. He's basically saying what you did though is you've given, and it was smart because it'll be credited to your account. It'll be marked down. And I really want you to see this. It's important to understand that when we give, heaven sees. And it's credited to our account. And so our finances go where our feet can't go. And so Paul is saying to them, but because you gave, you're in the action. When I was in Thessalonia, here in prison, where people are getting saved, your giving is part of the fruit of what's coming out of this. And so When we sow generosity, it goes where our feet can't go, and there's a record of heaven. So when you give to ministries, when you give to missionaries, when you give to the church, the fruit that comes out of that is a credit to us in our account in heaven. Do you follow that? And so, as much as sometimes we see people manipulate, there are things in Scripture that say, when we invest in these things, God is seeing it. And we actually get to be a part of it. And I love that. We help partner with some missionaries, and when they send a report of people getting saved and these kind of things, it's like, thank you, Jesus, but I actually get to be a part of that, even though I'm not in Colombia or Africa or those places that's happening. When you give towards, like we've talked about, you know, praying about giving towards a youth pastor, when you're giving that as a thing, like those kids that would get touched, that's credit to your giving. If that makes sense. That's what Paul's saying. And so how do we manage the stuff that God has given us? The Jews understood this in the Old Testament. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Then you will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. You know, people get mad and angry with Jewish people today, but I still think they're walking in the blessing of because they put those things in practice. It's like a spiritual law. We have gravity. You let go of something, it's going to fall. God's put spiritual principles that are law in our earth. When we give, there's a response. There's a reaction. There's things that come back. And that's, again, that's even psychology has found that. Right? And so when you look at them and you go, well, how come they do so well in business? How come they do so well in inventing things and stuff like that? It's because they put this in practice. They're givers. And so if you look at the big picture of the Bible, here's the message. Give, give, give. Give out of everything that you have. Give out of the overflow. Did you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Dead Sea. Anybody here ever been there? I've floated in it. It's kind of like Watrous if you've gone to the spa there where you sort of float, okay? Except it's even more floaty. I don't know what the word is, but buoyant, there we go. You go lie down and you don't have to have any effort in floating. You're basically from your chest up and your feet are up out of the water. People will take like a drink and lay it beside them and it'll float and they'll read a book and just chill. And it is a crazy experience. You can look down and it's clear and there's big chunks of salt down there. So it's called the Dead Sea because literally nothing grows. But did you know that all the water flowing into the Dead Sea is incredible water that you can drink, that's beautiful water that that you could use for irrigating? In fact, that whole country, the Jewish country, has made incredible, beautiful, fertile farmland of water coming in. But the reason it dies is because it doesn't flow up. And many times our lives is like that. We want to receive and get and get and get, and we don't want to give up. And we can become stale and grumpy and critical and judgmental and hard, and it's because we don't turn around and let the river flow. We don't give up. And so we say things like, Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, teach me. And we go to prayer meetings and we go to different things and we're like, man, I experienced the love of God and I felt this presence. It was wonderful. And then we just go home and hold on to it. It's like being a spiritual hoarder. We're called to give. We're called to let the river flow through us. Jesus said in John chapter 7 that the Holy Spirit fills us and gushes out like a rushing river from our innermost being. He's not meant to be contained. And your life, again, should reflect the love of God. Because God has loved you, we're called to turn around and what? To love our neighbor. We're called to love God first and love others. So our life should look like something. Again, because everything that we have, we've been given freely and we're called to give it away. Are you getting this? That is the good news of the gospel, is that not a single one of us could earn it. Not a single one of us could deserve right standing with God. And not a single one of us have it unless we turn to Jesus. And he says, I freely give it to you. I freely gave my life for you so that you could be free of sin and shame and actually have hope and peace and joy, even in the middle of a chaotic world right now that is just nuts. And you can carry that. It's a free gift. And that's the beauty of Christmas. Jesus came to give himself for us. John 3:16 is one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. And it says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his son for us. And that's how we should live. Amen. So let me ask you this, what do you have to give? And you can look at stories in scripture, like the boy with some fish and some bread. And when we put those, what we have, and it might not even feel like much, it might feel like two pennies. But when we put that in the hands of Jesus, when we trust him with it, he multiplies. I heard someone talking about this one time. They said, you know, if you put a paintbrush in my hand, the painting's worth nothing. But if you put a paintbrush in the hand of Leonardo da Vinci, it's worth millions. I think about that. You put a hockey stick in my hand, it's worth the price tag on it. But if you give that hockey stick to Connor McDavid, it's worth something. What he can do with it. And so we take the gifts and the abilities, the resources we have, and we put them in God's hands and watch him multiply as we give. Moses, he had a staff. If you gave me that staff, I might scare some sheep, I might yell at them, but he parted the Red Sea. If you give me some nails and a hammer, I might be able to build you a deck. But what happened with Jesus? Okay? He went on the cross and gave his life for us so that we could have eternal life, so we could be free from sin. We have everything we have because of a generous, good God. Amen. But we need to learn to give him what we have, to trust him with what we have today so that he can multiply what's in our hand. And it always starts with us giving. Yeah. And then he multiplies. And he brings back. If you look at the story, the parable and the minas and the talents in Scripture, I'm not going to go there today, but again, we're called to be good stewards, to multiply what we've been given. All right, and we do it by partnering with God. See, God can handle your mistakes and your shortcomings and everything you're living in right now. He just wants us to learn how to trust him with everything that we have, and he'll take care of the rest. He transforms us from the inside out when we step in. So it doesn't matter what situation or state you're in this life, God says, I want to take you where you're at. Just come. Yeah. I want you to actually be able to experience the joy of not being held back by fear or anxiety or stress and all these things. Because why? We have a hope in him. So the debt we have, we often talk about debt. Oh, I have a mortgage payment, I have this and I have that to pay. The debt we have spiritually is one we can't actually pay. Like we deserve death because of the wrong. And every single one of us, like I mentioned earlier, we're all in the same boat. But Jesus. And so we turn to him in that freely he has given his son for us. Jesus freely gave his life for you because he loves you. And because of that love that we receive, we're called to turn around and love other people. And again, when we give, it's credited to our account, like it says in Philippians. When we give, we're sowing. And when we sow, we reap. Did you know that a farmer, they choose the seed they want, they choose the crop they want to grow, and they're strategic in when they plant and how they plant, and so that they can see a good harvest. Right? We need to be like that in our lives, spiritually too. And the Bible says that the measure that we use, it'll be used in return. And I know for some people, it sounds like this prosperity doctrine stuff that we've heard sometimes. And we get nervous, and our back arches up, and we go, no, it's not like, but actually, it's in Scripture that the way that you give, it will be returned to you that way. And there's been lots of manipulation around it. But if wealth was inherently evil, do you think God would have streets of gold in heaven? Do you think there'd be so much splendor in the throne room? Okay? It's, again, it comes back to your heart. So be careful not to pick up in a poverty or an orphan spirit mind or a mindset that says, I must be poor to be spiritual. That's just as wrong as the other side that says, well, you must be rich to be spiritual. Okay? Do you know that God made people rich sometimes? That irks people, but that's what he did. Sometimes wealth is a sign of following God. Not always, though. So don't make it a rule. He wants you rich in here. So don't be jealous. Don't covet other people. But bless them, be thankful, and I would strongly encourage you, actually make a plan for being generous in your life. Write it down. Chase God. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him to show you how he wants to multiply what you have in your hands. How you can give. And that's my prayer. God, I want to have a heart to give, to be generous. And the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. There are so many promises, you guys, for us as people if we'll be generous. But we have to actually take that step of saying, God, I trust you. So what you sow, you will reap. All right? In Galatians 6, Paul says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. If you sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. We talk about finances. If you sow finances, there will be financial protection. You'll be blessed in that. Okay? You sow kindness, you reap kindness. Luke 16:38, if you the measure you use, it'll be used back. So again, we start by choosing. It starts with us taking the first step. I want to jump ahead. There's a few things I really want to say as we close. I want to just challenge you today, in this Christmas season and just in this coming year, when you give, learn to engage your faith. I think this is something we often miss out on. God wants us to be giving people. And we've often heard many things from people saying, you know, name it, claim it, all that kind of stuff, or it makes us uneasy because your husband thinks that there's been abuse in it. But what God really wants is our faith partnered with our giving with Him. Because that is where we walk in partnership with Him. And so, you know, I've heard things taught where people say, well, you know, if you want to, you know, there's a scripture, say it's Genesis 1:22. Well, if that means something to what you're claiming for your life, then give $122. I've heard that kind of thing, and it drives me crazy, okay? But then I was thinking about it, and I thought, if that actually helped you to engage your faith, then do it. But don't make it a principle that says you have to give this specific amount and you'll get that. That just gets weird. But if those are the kind of things you can do to help, and again, engage your faith. So when you give, when you tithe, when you give to something, pray and say, Lord, I've been praying for breakthrough in my life. I'm giving today because I trust you with everything. And I'm praying for my kid, my grandkids. I pray for their health. I pray for my family's health. I pray for a breakthrough in our finances and our job. And if you own a business, pray and blessing over your business every time you give. Because God, I'm in partnership with you. And learn to engage your faith when you give. I think it's really important, and it is biblical. And I believe that God opens doors. And it starts with, what do you have in your hand? What are you going to use? What are you going to give? Because this has to become an identity thing where we understand that I know a God, I'm partnering with a God who has no lack. No. And who never runs out of resources and who will supply all my needs. No. I have to trust Him in that. So, in Matthew 19, I was reading this the other night and it just jumped out at me. A young guy said to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And he said this. He said, follow the commandments. And he says, well, I do all that. And he says, okay, if you really want to know, then sell everything you have and give your possessions to the poor and you'll have a reward in heaven. And the guy gets dejected. And they're like, well, who can do that? Like, the disciples are like, how is that possible? You know, and in verse 27, in Matthew 19, verse 27, Peter asks, Lord, we've given everything to follow you. What will we get? I love Peter. In verse 29, Jesus says this, everyone who's given up houses or brothers or sisters or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Again, can you see the principle? We're called to give, to trust Him. And Jesus came to give His life for us so we can have hope and peace in this season. And then the result is we need to learn to give up everything we have, to walk in this partnership of faith and trusting that God is wanting to be a part of every chunk of our life. And He can pour in blessing when we step out in faith with Him. So if you aren't tithing, start there. Why don't you commit to tithe for a year? Just say, God, I want to trust you in this and see what happens. And if you've been tithing, you're like, I think the idea is, at least from my perspective, is that we learn to be more generous all the time and partner with God and say, God, how can I do this in an effective way in my life? And so pray. And in faith, plead promises of the Lord over your life. God, I am giving because I want to see a transformation in my family. I want to see transformation in the generations behind me. I want to see my community saved. So God, what does that look like? How do I partner with you in that? God, how do I give my time, my energy, my gifts, my finances, everything to honor you with my life? Because you've been so generous to give everything for me. Even when I didn't deserve it, you laid your life down for me. So there's no manipulation in it. There's no anything. It's literally a promise that God wants to supply your needs. And He's given everything for you to have access to. It's all free. But we have to, in faith, say, I receive, and now I'm going to act on it. And it's going to look like something. So I'm going to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Let's fire handle spring.